Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Hey, I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to episode 18 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode goes up on the website, and you are free to click on and listen at your leisure. And I also have what they tell me is called a landing page. That's how I'm in with the scene, okay? I'm hip with all the phrases on trend. Landing page. You cannot accuse me of not being in with the scene. Although I don't know how in with the scene is. But yeah, if you can go to WGNplus.com, go to the entertainment section prompt on the website page, and then you'll go to another page there, and then you'll see a little listing of all those different shows, and there will be Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. So just click on there, and you can peruse and listen to one or all of the podcasts that that we've done up to this point. So feel free. Once again, everybody does what they want to do, man. You know, there's no more, you know, appointment entertainment. The internet has given us the ability to basically, we all have become program directors for radio, for television. We're going to talk about TV a little later in the program today. In fact, with Emily Arminetti in our Pop Culture Club segment about the new shows. This is September, and so the new season is beginning for television, and it is more confusing and more difficult to watch television today than I think it ever has been. And we'll get into that. There are so many options. There are so many different channels, and not even channels. Now there are platforms. See, we have platforms now. And so you've got streaming services, you've got cable. I think the networks are still on television. I don't even know about that anymore. Sometimes I don't even know if I watch a network television show. I think I watch two or three of them. So there are just so many different ways and to watch TV shows and when to watch them. So we've all become our own program directors. We make our own schedule now. There used to be a day, and it wasn't even that long ago. That's amazing how technology has so quickly jumped, started the entire culture. It wasn't that long ago where there was something called a water cooler show. So that now is an outdated term for two reasons. First of all, very few water coolers in an office. Second of all, very few shows that are on that everybody watches at the same time. I mean, you can't, if you see a TV show, you can't even talk about it until about a week later, or you get these stares of, spoiler alert, I didn't watch that yet. Well, was it my fault? Then watch it. It was on yesterday at 8 o'clock. What were you doing? I can't talk about it now. I can't share my thoughts on it because you didn't watch it. But that's where we're at. But the water cooler show was the fact that everybody would watch a show, and the next day you'd come to work and say, gosh, did you see blank, and can you believe that? But that phenomenon is gone because, as I said, everybody's not even watching the same delivery system. If you don't have Hulu, you can't watch X amount of show. If you don't have Netflix, you can't watch House of Cards. But anyway, we'll get into that a little more. So, once again, when you hear this music, if you are a regular listener to the podcast or to my radio work, you will know that that is usually the signal for yet another misadventure of Elton Jim. Now, I wish I was making these up. And what scares me is I have way too much material for this bit. Every week, it seems that I can do a misadventure of Elton Jim and play this music. Sometimes I'm like, I can't do this one because I just did one. They're going to think I'm out of my mind, but this one really was an interesting one in a kind of a not scary, but I was in a frenzy, and I thought that a lot of people could relate to this one. But yeah, sadly, on a weekly basis, I probably have two or three of these, so that's why I play this music, because I do feel like I'm living Larry David's life in reality, except with a heck of a lot less money. But so here's the deal. If you have ever seen any pictures of me in the recent past, you'll know. Of course, I've got this name, Elton Jim. And so to really hit it home, I've been an Elton John fan since I was a little kid. So I've always worn sunglasses, you know, because, hey, you know, Elton had glasses, right? So now, sadly, as Father Time has approached, I actually need glasses to see distances. I used to buy glasses with clear lenses just because I like to wear glasses. I thought they were cool looking, and I used to like to just have the little added accessory, if you will, little added touch to the look. Now I actually need to wear them, which is okay, because now it's not a total waste of money. It's not complete vanity. But at the same time, it's kind of a pain because I do need them, and sometimes I forget to use them, which is ironic. When I didn't need them, I wore them. When I do need them, now I don't want to wear them because that is an admission of age. But anyway, so I've got, and everybody knows, if you've listened to me on the radio over the last several years, you know, I've got my little briefcase, which I have with me today, sitting right to the left of me here. And I have about 25 pairs of different glasses in there because you never know what kind of mood you're in. So I like to have my glasses at the ready. But I really do, but with everything, just like your children, you have favorites. And so out of the 25, there's been a few that I have come to like to wear. And just they feel comfortable. I like the look, everything about them. And I've actually had this one style of glasses, which in fact I'm wearing right now. If you remember, now they're very popular. You know, they're like the glasses that an old person would wear. No pun intended. You know, with like the dark, like in the 50s, you know, with the dark tops and then the wire around the lens and the kind of the dark top there. My spin on it, of course, is I have purple lenses, so they don't look. And the funny thing is that these glasses really started to come into fashion in the mid-80s. Jack Nicholson was like the first guy to wear this kind of style of glasses. And when the mid-80s, when he started to pop up in paparazzi columns and stuff and pictures, and you'd see these glasses, and he had the, they were like, and at first you're like, why is he wearing these old man glasses? But of course, with Jack's flair, he had like this green lens, and they looked really cool. So, and I love Jack Nicholson. So right away, I zoned in on those, and like, okay, how do I find those glasses? Because they were not everywhere at all. They were a premium, and this is before the internet, where you couldn't hit, you know, glasses that Jack Nicholson is wearing. Enter. You had to really search. And then you actually bought stuff either at a store, I know it sounds crazy, or you would, in magazines, there were ads for stuff. And so I saw this ad in Rolling Stone magazine, and it says, you know, I don't even know what they called these glasses, but they had a name for them. And it was like, hey, here they are. So boom, I sent away, I got them, and I was like, very excited. And for about a month and a half or 2 months, in the summer of about 86, I believe, I had these glasses, and I was the hipster of the world. But then, of course, they got very popular. And as you know, when something is popular, then I'd run away from it. So then they had them for $2. They had them everywhere, and everybody was wearing them. And then, of course, I didn't want to wear them anymore. So I sort of put them away. And then I brought them back out in the early 90s when no one was wearing them again. And I've literally been wearing them for about 20 years now. And they are sort of coming back. I did notice that my godson, Patrick, who I use as my millennial meter, did have a pair recently. So clearly they're on the hipster list again. But I don't care at this point. I've been wearing them and I just like them. So here's the deal. I've got my nice glasses. I've had to get a few different models because with time they have broken, but I've got the same style with the dark top and the wire around the lens and the purple lens in there. So the other day I'm going to run some errands. Pretty simple, all within a 10-minute radius of my home and all within maybe 5 minutes of each other. So just a little quick boom, boom, boom kind of thing. Got to get some gas. Got to get some cat food for Grimsby the cat. And I've got to go and get a shirt, a button-down shirt from a department store in the area too. So those are the three main errands I have to run. So go get the gas, no problem. Right across the street, and I've got it all figured out. I go to the farthest point and then make my way back. And as I said, gas station literally right across the street from cat food place. Cat food place maybe a half a block or two blocks away from the department store. And then boom, I'm home. So I've got it all plotted out, all planned out. We're off to the races. Get the gas, no biggie. Go into the pet store. Grimsby only likes one type of food and one brand of food, to the point where when I go to this pet store, I buy 48 cans. I buy, like, they're prepaid. They're not even out of the wrapper. They're still shrink wrapped because I need them. And she eats them like they're going out of style. She only weighs 10 pounds. I don't know what kind of metabolism this cat has. It's unbelievable. But she eats unbelievably. But she'll eat other food, but gosh, does she love this one? So my point is, hey, if she loves it, why give her something that she only sort of likes? So I go to the store, and luckily there are 24 cans behind in the shelf that are prepackaged. So I grab that, but then there are some loose cans. So now I'm going to, and it looks like there's 24, but I'm going to count them. And then, of course, as I'm counting them, they're falling on the floor. So I pick them up, and I go to behind me, there's an open shelf, there's a little more room, and I'm able to count out the cans. And I do that, and I get them all, put them in my little basket, and I leave. And I pay, boom, and I'm gone. Two down, one to go. So now I go to the department store. And I'm looking for a specific shirt color. Button-down shirt. And so I go there, and I'm in the section, and there's a couple of different areas where they might be. I'm looking for the color. I'm looking for the size. And nothing over here, nothing over there. And, wait a minute, over here, this could be. Nah, that's not it. Let me see. But it's not a bad-looking shirt. Maybe I can buy another shirt, too. I need this one. But, hey, so I'm kind of browsing. As you know, there's tables with different clothes on them, and then there's little compartments where, you know, different kinds of clothes are as well within the whole section. So I looked at this table of shirts and kind of browsed around, and then I went into the compartments where these button-down shirts were, and lo and behold, I found a couple, and they were on sale, which was nice, and so, boom, I grabbed a couple of those. And I get back in the car, and I'm happy. I've had a very successful run of errands. It hasn't taken long. Everything's gone according to plan. And I'm starting to drive home, and I realize that I don't have my glasses on. Stuff looks fuzzy as I'm driving. And I know that I took my glasses with me when I went off to do my journey, because they were sitting right by my cell phone and right by my wallet when I left the house. So I know that I took them. And I remember the world looking much sharper in focus on my way toward my errands than the world seemed to be right now. So now I'm freaking out because you know how this is, right? I mean, you've got something that some material item that is really your favorite. Or just what about your keys? There's something that is important to you. And suddenly you go, oh my gosh, where's my wallet? Where are my keys? Where's my whatever it may be in your life. But you've got those two or three items that you go, oh my gosh, They're always with you, and when you don't have them in that moment, you feel it. There's a sense of panic that just like rushes through you, and you look around and you're doing the whole where the hell, you know, whoa. So I'm driving in the car and I'm in this turn lane and I'm like, where are my glasses? You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, well, you know, I can't be where could they be? I know they can't be at the gas station. Why would I take my glasses off to put gas in? So I'm going to say I'm not even going back there. But now I'm in the opposite direction of all my errands. So now I got to take a left turn. I got to go around the block, blah, blah, blah. And to me now, every minute is a minute for someone to steal my glasses. If I did, in fact, leave them somewhere. Every minute that I'm not with those glasses, this is like losing your kid at Great America or Disneyland. I mean, my glasses are sitting there by themselves. Anybody could come by and say, hey, glasses, you need a ride home? Are you lost? You want to come to my house? And off they go. And you never see sunglasses on the side of a milk carton. They're just gone. There's no misty. They don't send out any amber alert when your glasses are missing. So every minute now, I'm like, Not that I don't have faith in mankind, but these are really nice glasses and they're really cool glasses. And if I saw them, I would take them. So I figure there's a lot of people out there thinking like me. Now they are subscription. No, prescription. I always get prescription and subscription wrong. They are prescription. It's not a heavy prescription, but it is a prescription. But still, someone could still, hey, they're nice frames. The frames alone. Pop the lenses out and get your own. So I'm in this car now and I'm dying. So now I make this left turn and I'm driving like Starsky and Hutch. I mean, I'm driving like, that's a nice reference too. So I'm just flying. So I go, well, it's got, I need to go to the pet store because if I told you, I dropped some cans on the floor of the store and then I went to this side shelf and sort of organized everything. So I'm saying to myself, I may have taken the glasses off there because I had to count these and, you know, who knows? And there was this shelf, so it would have made sense. I could have laid them down. And then once I finished, I didn't look at them again. So I get finally back to the pet store. And I do know I've gone to this pet store regularly now for over a year or so. And I've seen this woman that works there many times. And we say, hi, how you doing? So I walk in. It's only been like, you know, 7 or 8 minutes since I've been there, 10 minutes. Thankfully, everything was close by. Because if I was like a half hour or 45 minutes away, I would have had a nervous breakdown of wondering where are my glasses and will they be there if I ever find them. So I come back in. I go back to that area where the cat food is. I look around. They are not on the shelf. They are not by the other cans. They are not anywhere around. I see some stock people, and I said, hey, have you seen any sunglasses? And they're like, no, we haven't seen anything. So now I'm like, oh, son of a bee. So now I go to the front, and I ask her. I said, did anybody turn in some sunglasses? And she's like, no. But then, thankfully, she knows me, right? She goes, well, you know, you had them on. And I go, oh, wait. You know, hey, I don't watch Columbo at 2 a.m. on MeTV for nothing here. I take my Columbo and his detective skills, and I put them into my world. So I go, wait a minute. Ah. I'm like, wait, so did I have them on when I walked in? And she says, yeah. I go, oh, but what about when I walked out? And she says, yes. She remembers. Okay, so that means they're not in this store. Now, I know they have to be at the department store where I bought the shirt. Because why would I take them off at the gas station? Doesn't make any sense. So now back in the car, and now I am on a mission. I mean, I am just so frenzied because I'm, like I said, every minute my poor glasses are by themselves and they're wondering, where's Jim? Why did he leave? What did we do to him? Did we pinch his nose or something? Too much? Were we too tight around the temples? Why would he leave us here? We thought we had a nice relationship. And now he just left us to fend for ourselves? That's how I felt, my poor glasses.
all alone in this cruel world, and once again, susceptible to perhaps a stranger danger who might come up to them and say, hey, your old owner left you here. What do you care about him anymore? Come to my house. I've even got a glass case. See how nice it is? You could sit in here. You don't have to sit in the glove compartment like where he puts you sometime, or you don't have to put you by the sun visor. I'll put you in this nice case every night. I promise. Hey, if I was a pair of glasses, I'd go for that too. So now I run to the store. I fly. I even, and I hate to admit this, I parked in a handicapped spot because it was close to the door. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I have to find my glasses. Every minute counts. I come in. I go straight to the section. And the women, the two women that were behind the register, kind of look at me because I'm on a mission. I don't even like, you know how you sort of like give a nod? I didn't even give a nod. I'm on a mission. I'm focused. So I walk into this section and I'm like, okay, they've got to be here. So now, I forgot an important part of this story. Wait a minute. Here's the best part. Before I go on this mission, well, very important part. Before I go on the mission to the cat store and the department store, I say to myself, wait a minute. What if I'm driving myself crazy? What if I didn't bring my glasses with me? They're probably at home. So before I went on the mission, I actually drove home, left the car running in the driveway, ran in the house, looked, and boom, they weren't there. So now I really freaked out because now I know I don't have them. So that's when I went on my mission. So now I go, pet store, you had them on when you left here. Okay. I walk into the department store. I'm in the section. I'm like, okay, I was over here by these shirts. I was over here by these shirts, and I'm looking, and I'm taking all the shirts out of the compartments because I was looking at the different sizes, and I didn't put them down there, and did I put them on top of the thing? If you ever remember, there's a famous Seinfeld episode where George thinks someone stole his glasses, and he goes in through a whole thing with getting a new pair and their women's glasses, and it's a whole thing. At the end of the show, they show them, and they're just sitting at the top of his locker the whole time. No one stole them. He just left them on top of the locker and forgot them and never knew it. So that's how I'm feeling. Maybe I took them off as I'm looking at the prices. I don't know. There's nothing there. I am so right now because I'm like, well, someone took them. They're gone. I'm already, and I should say, while I'm driving these different areas, I'm already thinking about how I have to go to the eye doctor to get a new prescription, how I have to go then to the store to get new frames, how long is that going to take? I'm not going to have my favorite glasses for a week and a half. I'm already under the impression that these are gone. And now I'm in the department store, and I'm looking around, and they're not to be found. So I sort of put my head down, and I'm resigned to the fact that I've lost them, that they're gone, and they're my favorite glasses, and I'll never see them again. And as I'm in this state of semi-depression, I don't know what made me turn and look. But if you recall, I mentioned to you that I also looked at some shirts that were sitting on a table. Series of shirts. And I just, as I'm walking out, resigned to the fact that I do not have my sunglasses anymore, I just turn to the left, and there they are, sitting on top of a bunch of shirts with the lenses down and the, you know, right there, kind of on a crooked angle, and there they are. Oh, my gosh. Now, I told you many times, I don't have kids, right? So I just found my lost kid. Oh, I grabbed them. I looked at them. I wanted to hug them and kiss them, but I thought it would look weird in the store. And I just put them on and walked out. And I had such a rush of calmness come over me because before that, I could feel my nerves. I was in a frenzy. And I said to myself later on, gosh, why did you get so crazy about these sunglasses? It is kind of scary, to be honest with you. But I love these sunglasses. What can I tell you? And I put them on, and now I am so careful. I mean, I know where these glasses are at all times. I put them down. I'm looking where I'm putting them down. And yes, to be nice to them, I do have a case for them. I admit, and maybe the glasses were trying to teach me a lesson, because I do admit that there have been some times over the last several months that I have not put them in the case, that I have kind of cavalierly just put them next to the case in the glove compartment, and maybe in my haste have put them under the between the visor, the sun visor, or even in the cup holder, God forbid. So now I have made a conscious effort to treat my glasses the way they should be treated. I don't know. Thankfully, it was midday. The store was not very crowded. And hey, you know, who's to say? But I don't think anybody saw these glasses, because at the very least, they were sitting right on the top. At the very least, if someone did find them and they didn't take them, they probably would have turned them into the person behind the register and said, hey, you know, found these glasses. So I don't think anybody saw them, because they are such cool and beautiful glasses that I think that they would be too tempting for anybody to walk away from. So thankfully, I'm also thankful that not only did anybody take them, I'm thankful that I went to a store that not a lot of people shop in. But you should be happy to know that Elton Jim and his favorite pair of glasses are indeed reunited once again, even though for about 15 or 20 minutes, they weren't, and it was very scary. Issue two, in the words, in memory of our past group leader, if you will, John McLaughlin, issue two. I got to tell you, this is a tough one for me to say. This is a tough one for me. This is a toughie, but I got to say it. If you've listened to me at all, you know that I am a huge, I mean, my nickname is Elton Jim, but I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan as well. I've seen him in concert 61 times since 1980. Just saw him in concert about 3 weeks ago here in Chicago at the United Center. 3 hours and 35 minutes. Another amazing show. Bruce, for many years, had always been a very reclusive kind of artist. Put out an album once every 2 or 3 years, would tour once every 2 or 3 years. I don't know if mortality is beginning to creep up on him, but in the last 5 years, he's put out more material and more product than he ever has in the last 30. He's put out in the last five. It's unbelievable. And he's touring almost every year as opposed to every 3 years. So who knows? But he is going to be 67 in a couple of weeks. So maybe he's, you know, beginning to feel like, hey, Mitch, how much longer can this go on? So here's the thing. He has written an autobiography. It took him 7 years to write it. It's called Born to Run, which, in all honesty, Bruce, I mean, you couldn't think of a better title. I mean, it's a great title, don't get me wrong, but Born to Run is the song, not your book. And the funny thing is, he's got an album that's going to, a CD and an album, because everybody has to put vinyl out now, that accompanies it, which has some of his best songs as well as some unreleased songs from his earliest bands, even when he was 16 years old. So sort of a companion piece to the book in terms of his life story. So some songs that nobody has really ever heard. And that's called Chapter and Verse. And I'm like, well, that's a cool name. Chapter and Verse. Perfect. Why don't you call the book Chapter and Verse? I understand from a marketing standpoint and from a Bruce Springsteen, you think of Born to Run, but I would have thought he would have had a little more of a clever title. But maybe the pressure was on from the marketing people. But anyway, that's not the main thrust of this. So, unbelievably, because he's always been very reclusive, he agrees to do a series of book signing events to promote the book. So the book comes out in late September.
And so from late September through mid-October, there is a schedule of about 10 or 11 book signings across the country. And as you'd expect, there's one in his hometown of Freehold, New Jersey, of course, and another one in New Jersey, and one in New York, and one in Philadelphia, and one in Boston. Those are the big Bruce Springsteen strongholds. They are the longest fans. They were there when he first started. And as you'd expect, there are some on the West Coast, in San Francisco, and in Los Angeles. Guess where there isn't one? Chicago. Hello? You know, people, I love Chicago, and a lot of times I have been very tough on Chicago, but I'm only tough on it because I love the city and I want it to do better. There's no doubt that Chicago has a chip on its shoulder. We all can admit that. But there's a reason, and this is the type of stuff where the chip on the shoulder and the second city kind of mentality plays in. Chicago is the third largest market in terms of media and everything else. Number three, third largest city in the country. Okay? If you're selling a product, and I should say that in terms of a Bruce Springsteen fan base, because believe me, I've seen every show he's done here in the last 36 years. And I've seen him all around the country. I've seen him in New Jersey, and I've seen him in Philadelphia, and I've seen him in Boston. And there's no doubt that they are huge Springsteen fans, but I will put a Chicago crowd up against any of those cities in terms of the reaction and the intensity that they react to him on stage, as well as people that I know in this area are huge, huge Springsteen fans. And there is a very loyal, devoted, knowledgeable, enthusiastic Bruce Springsteen base here in Chicago. No doubt about that. When he would do multiple shows in cities, he would always do two or three shows here in Chicago. Always a huge demand. Chicago not on the list. Relegated to, once again, flyover city status. Not only that, but he's very popular in the Midwest here. Very big in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee. Always does sold-out shows there. What are you doing? Bruce, I love you, but man, major slight to your Chicago and Midwest fans. And basically, these are not even going to be book signings per se. You will get a pre-signed book, but you will get a chance to take a picture with him. That's what you're paying for. But you know what? I mean, he's so inaccessible most of the time. He's making himself available to the fans to say thank you and to sell a book. Not only do you bypass, if you just from pure merchandising, and product, you are bypassing all the publicity as well as the excitement in the third largest city and third largest market in the country. You're bypassing it. You're acting as if it doesn't exist, and you are bypassing and slighting some of your biggest and most devoted fans in the Chicagoland area as well as in the Midwest by not at least having one event in the Midwest. So I got to tell you, and of course, you know, he's going to be, these events are only a couple hours long. The tickets are being gobbled up as soon as they go on sale. I'm toying with going to one of the areas where there's still some tickets haven't gone on sale yet, but the chances of getting these are so slim that most likely I won't be able to go. And it is a bummer because I would have liked. I've met him a few times, very briefly, at different events to say hi and got an autograph, but it would have been cool. It's been a while. But more than that, regardless of my personal thing, I just think that Chicago, once again, gets the flyover status treatment, which is not fair. You know, and what's funny too, like I said, Springsteen is, and the people in Chicago here have always been very, diehard Springsteen fans. So he did two shows in New Jersey that were close to 4 hours. One was over 4 hours. Then he came to Chicago for one, and all of a sudden it was 3 hours and 35 minutes. And then he did another one. He went back after the Chicago and did another one in Jersey and did it over 4 hours. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. And now he's been doing four-hour shows the rest of this tour. There's only a couple of shows left. But my point is, why did Chicago – don't get me wrong. 3 hours and 35 minutes is an amazing amount of time with no break for a performer to be on stage. I'm not complaining, but I guess I am. Because why does everyone else get 4 hours and Chicago gets 3 hours and 35 minutes? I don't know. That's a minor issue. But not putting Chicago on your book tour list, oh, wrong for so many reasons. Bruce, I love you, but this time, you know, no magic in the night here. And we're back here at Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. I'm Jim Toronto here, having some fun. And we are going to go down into our secret little clubhouse known as the Pop Culture Club and talk to Emily Armonetti. Emily, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Getting excited for the new TV season.
Oh, yeah.
Are you? Oh, you sound very excited for the new TV season.
I am.
Well, calm yourself.
I can't.
Because you sound you sound so crazy that, I mean, I have to turn down the dials here. Your voice is crazy.
Jim, I get excited.
I can tell. Wow. But so here's the one thing I wanted to talk about before. We're going to talk about the new TV shows. When I was a kid, I would love September because this was when all the new shows were on and there would be all this excitement. And you're not too old or you're not young. You're right in the middle where you should still remember. Do you remember a time when there was no cable television or no?
Yes, I do. Well, I remember getting cable TV.
Okay, so you do remember? Yeah, okay. Because, you know,
maybe it may have existed and we just didn't have it yet.
The Chicago area was kind of slow to get cable television.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to know, I didn't know if you were of the age where you just, you know, were born into always having, you know, 1,000 channels. Because the thing is...
No. I remember that. And not only that, but we've talked about this. I lived in London for, you know, years in my adult years. And when I first moved to London, the first year I lived there, I had no cable. I had like 4 channels.
Oh!
Now this was in... I moved there in 2003. So imagine then having cable for many years and then not having...
Oh, I know. And I've been to London and England several times and... you know, there's mostly it's like Doctor Who and game shows.
Well, yeah, at that time though, The Office, the original.
You were there for the original Office?
I was, yeah. But left the States, it was the last season of Friends. I think it was the last season of Friends, and it was the last season and you know, things that the Friends did air there, but it was on a delay. It was like a month long delay. And Sex and the City was having their final season, and I definitely did not have HBO. So,
wow.
Yeah, I sort of returned to those pre-cable years in my adulthood.
Yeah. Well, see, the reason I bring that up is because in a day when there wasn't so many offerings and so many outlets, you know, it really, there was two things going on. First of all, there was the three networks, aside from, you know, some UHF stations. And then... there was the fact that most of the time during the summer, it was all reruns. There was really nothing to watch in the summer.
Yeah.
There was no original programming at all. And now, obviously, the networks have been trying to combat the fact that, your HBOs and your Showtimes are putting on, you know, these major shows in the summer, and people are going over there and they're losing viewers. So they wanted to counteract that. But so my point is, once May came and all the first run of the shows were done, it was like a 3-month drought.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people just had to, like, go have a life.
Yeah, well, for those of you who had one, I, on the other hand, was very depressed for 3 months. So when September came, it's like, ah, new shows.
Right.
It was a big deal. Now there's some excitement, but it's not as, you know, feast and famine, because we are now entertained, you know, 12 months a year and 24/7. Yeah, I mean, there is no, yeah, there's no reason that you, if you want to be entertained, there's no reason that you can't be.
No.
So
last night, there was nothing on my DVR. Do you know what I watched?
What?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, my
God. Breaking Bad hasn't even been on the air. I don't even know when it ended, because I'm still watching it.
But that's what's cool. I mean, there is certainly a an advantage to having this kind of incredible access to you know, thousands of shows that you can watch at your leisure or whenever you feel like it. But you know, there was some kind of an intrinsic feeling about, and I'm still like that. Like, for instance, I have The Godfather on, you know, every possible, you know, format. So I could watch it.
I'm shocked.
No, but my point is, I could watch it at any time. I could watch
it. Sure, you can.
But my point is, the only time I watch it is when it's on a station.
Really?
Then I watch it. Like, oh, it's on. Oh, it's on. Like, because there's.
Now, are you like what? So my dad is kind of like this with Goodfellas, okay? Are you like what? Like, he can, he's a homing pigeon. Like, he shows up at my house in Austin, okay, like a month ago. And all of a sudden, it's like 1 p.m, and all of a sudden, Goodfellas is on. I'm like, how did you just magic up Goodfellas? So I guess since you're probably like that.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. But
it's probably like the same thing.
But my point, I love Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I could rattle off the lines. But my point is, I still cling to that idea of the communal viewing of right now.
Yeah.
It's like somebody has, there is some other power that dictated that at 7 o'clock on Thursday, this show would be on. And so I'm watching it, and other people can be watching it too, but it's on. And I know that it means it is that it's a ridiculous feeling, but to me, there is something about, well, it's on. I mean, I could watch this anytime, but it's on right now.
Well, okay, there's that, but that does happen to some extent. I think, you know, there are certain shows that you kind of have to, and especially if it's, say, a longtime series that's coming to an end. So, for example, if you watch The Sopranos, you probably were watching it usually when it was on, especially in the last season.
Oh, definitely. Right? Definitely.
So that does have to happen. Then there are water cooler shows. So, like, there are certain shows that people talk about around the water cooler at work, and you have to be up on them.
Well, yeah. I mentioned that earlier when I started the show about the whole water cooler phenomenon. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Because I feel that there's not as many water cooler shows because nobody's watching them all at the same time. And
right.
That if you do, then you get yelled at for spoiler alert.
That's right, yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'm sorry, but it was on. Now I have to wait 4 days to talk about it because you were too busy watching something else on Netflix.
I understand, but see, what happens when you just really can't be there to watch a show that you enjoy watching?
I understand that, but you know what? But I got news for you.
Don't you like having that option?
I like having the option, but once again, I'm going to become grumpy old man. In my day, there weren't VCRs or DVRs, and if you missed the show, you missed it, and you missed it, and you liked it. So my point is, there was a time where, you know what? If you missed All in the Family when it was on,
that Saturday at 7 o'clock, you missed it. You missed it. Sorry, missed it. You should have been home. CBS said, sorry, you should have been home.
Like, so you said, you're one of those people.
No, I'm not one of those people. What I'm just saying is that there was a time when there was only one chance to see that. We have become, you know, so used to just doing, you know, having so much at our fingertips. And as I said before, we have become our own program directors now.
Yeah.
We decide.
But I like it.
Oh, I like it.
No, I like it.
Don't get me wrong. I've got a ton of stuff on my DVR, and there are times when I'm not home, and you go on vacation. Believe me, I have completely embraced the technology of that. But my point is that by doing this time shifting and everything else that whatever you want to call it, it has lessened the communal aspect of watching a show. As I've used as an example many times,
yeah.
You know, you can ask a certain age group where they were and what they remember when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, because everybody was at home doing the same thing. They were all watching that.
That was a little bit before my time.
It was before my time too, but my point is that's the way the world was. I mean, everybody did have appointment television, and everybody did watch one or two of the same things, just because there wasn't a lot of choice either.
Right.
So to get back to the point, so what I have found, not only with, you know, as I look now through, I got the latest issue of Entertainment Weekly, and they do a pretty comprehensive preview of all the different shows that are coming up, and I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I love television, and I grew up with television. I still love to watch television. But, man, I don't care who you are or how much you love it. It's impossible to stay up on all of these shows. There's just so many.
Yeah, I mean, you need to pick your battles. But now for you, because you always talk about your insomnia, I would think it would be easier for you than everybody else because you've got more time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have my insomnia, but then I also watch certain shows that are on because they're on.
What is on in the middle of the night?
Oh, there's Car 54, Sergeant Bilko, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart.
What? Okay, so you have Nickelodeon. I get it. But, like, that's it. That's all of this.
And I've seen them all a million times, too.
Right.
I do watch some of the stuff. I do catch up on it. But my point is, you know, first of all, there is less of an excitement of the fall season because, you know, it hasn't been that feast or famine, as I said before. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, now look at it this way. You know, there was a time when there were three networks, and that's all you had to choose from. But now, so then cable came along, and now there was this whole new world. And then cable, instead of just showing movies, they really got serious, and pretty much it really was kind of The Sopranos that really shifted gears in terms of people going.
I think in terms of drama, but do you remember way back, like in the early 90s.
Way back.
You mean
way back in the early 90s?
Do you know how long ago that was?
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me.
I want that time back.
Don't remind me. What show are you talking about? Which one?
Well, do you remember like Dream On?
I used to love Dream On. In fact,
that was like, and the Larry Sanders Show.
And Larry Sanders, like, yeah, that's true. That's original. True. No, that's very true. Larry Sanders, but Larry Sanders.
But they were still sitcoms.
Yeah, they were sitcoms, and they were still cult. It was Sopranos was one where it hit the mainstream. I mean, if you say Dream, you say Dream On to some people, and they'll look at you like you should be dreaming on, you know. And Larry Sanders,
really?
Oh yeah, and I think, believe me, I'm a huge, huge Gary Shandling fan, and I've got the Larry Sanders shows on DVD 5 years ago when they came out. I love that show, but I really think that a lot of people never saw that show, never even heard of Larry of Gary Shandling. I really believe that, as sad as that is, but my point is,
Oh, I had to laugh. So did you hear about the show? Did you see the show that was just recently on called Roadies? Did you hear about that show at all?
I haven't seen it, but that's Cameron Crowe.
Yeah, so Cameron Crowe did a show. He did the movie Almost Famous about, you know, a rock band on the road. And so this take was about what it's like to be a roadie for a famous rock group. So I'm watching Roadies the other day, one of the episodes, and I see this character who's on every so often playing the manager of the band. And he was inconsequential. Didn't even pay attention to him. I'm looking at the credits, and it says Brian Benben.
Oh, right. Yeah, the guy from Dream On.
He's the guy from Dream On. So right. I'm like, Brian Benben? Where was Brian Benben in this? Because the only guy that I could think of was this guy that's got gray hair, who looks like he's 100, and who played the manager. So now I rewind, and I'm like, oh, that is Brian Benben. I'm like, wow. So it's so funny you said Dream On, because I haven't seen Brian Benben in 25 years.
Oh, and you're making fun of me for saying, hey, remember way back in the 90s?
But anyway, so When you see these different shows, like I said, you know, there's so many different platforms. If you think about it now, so now you first had you know your three networks, and then you got your cable, and then HBO and Showtime started to get into original programming, like we said. So all of a sudden, there's The Sopranos, and then there's Homeland, and then you know there is all these other shows now that are must see kind of shows. Well, now, in the last 5 or 7 or 8 years, now we've got all these streaming services, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. And so now, and they are having original programming. So, I mean, and quality.
Very, very, very quality.
I mean, you've got House of Cards on Netflix. And, you know, you've got The Orange is the New Black. And and now on on Hulu and Amazon, Transparent is on Amazon, you know, the transgender show. So, and these shows are not only popular, but they're winning Emmy Awards. They're some of the best shows on television. And so, like I said, I just think nowadays, I mean, it's hard to keep up with some of this. I'll admit, you know, as crazy as a TV fan as I am, I don't have Hulu or Amazon or Netflix.
Okay. So let's back up the train. First of all, you don't have to worry so much about Hulu at this point, because I feel like they've got like one or two good ones right now. But I don't think right now you need to worry about that. Amazon, for sure, Transparency, but there's another show on Amazon called Catastrophe.
I've heard of that.
It's a really good show. It's really funny. It's about an American guy who is over in London, like on a business trip or something, and he has a one-night stand with this British woman, and she gets pregnant, and it kind of spirals from there. That's a really good show. Really funny. And I also love it because it actually reminds me of my time living over there. But
you didn't get pregnant, did you?
Well, no, but an expat living there. But
right,
he's
no.
there, yes.
No,
he's
I
kind
understand.
Of thrown, more thrown into it than I was. But anyway, Netflix, okay, this is where you need to get with the program.
I know. I do.
You really do.
Well, here's the problem though. But I have a legitimate reason that I don't have Netflix.
Okay.
First of all, I don't have a smart TV. I got my TV, you know, 8 years ago, before that stuff was all built in. So if I got Netflix to watch it on my TV, I'd either have to plug my laptop into my TV every time or get some Yoko Rococo. What is that? There's some
Roku?
Kind
of,
yeah.
Even my 6-year-old knows what Roku is. Come on.
Well, I mean, then I got to have all these adapters and wires and all this.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion?
So what I have done, you know, I've done.
Your TV is 7 years old. Get a new TV. How long is even the lifespan of a TV anymore? I don't even know. I don't think it's 7 years.
I mean, I love politics, and I love Kevin Spacey. And so what I've basically done for every season of House of Cards, I go to my friend's house and literally stay there for 13 hours and watch every episode. I get there at 10 in the morning and stay there till 10 at night.
Yeah, I think your friend probably wants you to get a smart TV.
Yeah. Well, like I said, so, you know, what's so difficult, I'm looking through all these new shows, and I'm saying, you know, I'm like, I'm turning the page, and, you know, like I said, the Entertainment Weekly, and I'm like, and then I'm like, my God, how could all these shows be on? And I'm looking to see where they're at, and some of them are on cable, some of them are on Amazon, mm-hmm. some of them on Netflix. Now, mm-hmm. I'm a huge Woody Allen fan, and he's going to have a show on Amazon. So now I'm like dying. I'm tearing myself apart here because I'm sitting there going, because now the other side of the coin is, I mean, so how much is Netflix a month?
It's like less than $10 a month, I think.
Okay. And how much is Amazon Prime?
That I don't know, but the thing about Amazon Prime is you get a lot of other perks with it, too. So if you're somebody who orders a lot of Amazon stuff, you would have it anyway. I had it anyway. I didn't even know I could watch Amazon shows until my husband was like, oh, yeah, you can watch that for free because you have Amazon Prime. Because everybody has Amazon Prime, Jim, because it's 2016.
I know, but my point is, how many times am I going to get hit up for these $20? All these $20, you know, of these $20, that's another $100. How many times are they going to keep chipping away at me here? How many?
I know, but what is your cable bill every month? Because the thing is,
well, that's my point. My cable bill is too high.
Okay, so you probably, right, your cable bill is high. You have like 1,000 channels. There's probably hardly ever anything on. Okay.
So what am I supposed to
start thinking about it? Maybe you need to cut the cord.
I can't cut the cord.
I know you've talked about the cord cutters, and I know that is a radical step. But, you know, it starts slow. Okay, how about if we just do the – it's like $8.99 for Netflix, okay? Let's just start there. Baby steps.
But I got to go buy one of those Rococo things then.
$8.99 a month.
I got to buy those Rococo box.
Well, then you're going to have to do what you have to do. Or like I said, maybe join us in the year 2016 and get a smart TV. Because your TV, if it's 7 or 8 years old, any day now, you're going to be sitting there watching it, and it's just going to be like, poof. Your pixel lines are going to start going out.
Well, you know what? I have in my set. It's funny you say that, because my set is a plasma set. And when you could see, like, when I watch a hockey game or whenever there's something very white, it's like yellow. Like when I watch a hockey game, it looks like they've frozen urine on the entire ice surface. That's what it looks like. So it's time. Maybe it's time to, I mean, especially now, my gosh. It's amazing.
Well, something needs to happen.
I mean, that's true. But so here's the thing: there are a couple of shows that that I'm looking forward to, regardless of the few that I can watch, because because as I'm looking through this, a lot of these shows that I wanted to watch are on. I mean, thankfully, most of the shows.
Let me explain something else to you, though, about just really quickly about Netflix, is that not only is there original content, Jim, but a lot of the shows that are actually on regular.
Oh, believe me. I know.
Where do you think I watch Breaking Bad?
I know. I should definitely I should know. There's no question about it that I should I should have Netflix. I know that. But I don't want to buy one of these Rococo boxes.
Okay. We're going to have an intervention. Don't you worry. We'll take care of this.
So
in the meantime, what can you actually watch that you're
Well, here's the thing.
Watching?
So I'm looking ahead, and some of the shows that I'm looking forward to, I was a little disappointed in some of my summer fare. I did not like the ending of the show Night of with John Turturro.
Oh, okay. Don't tell me how it ended, though, because I haven't watched it.
Okay. Once again, spoiler alert. Here we go. You're one of these. The show ended 3 weeks ago.
Well, I just don't watch the show. I haven't watched it yet at all.
See?
What I have to do is...
You're right in that. You are a walking cliche.
Really good.
As I said to my godson,
of how to live life in the new millennium.
As I said to my millennial godson, I love you, but I hate everything you stand for. And that's the way I feel about you. My God. Night of ended 3 weeks ago. Get on the stick.
Don't worry, I'll get it taken care of.
Yeah, so anyway, so I won't tell you. I watched two shows basically this summer on a regular basis that I did DVR. One was a show called Brain Dead that was on CBS about politics and these little bugs that get in the people's heads, which was with Tony Shalhoub, who I like. But it was
Monk.
But it just it was a good idea that should have been for 3 episodes, not 12. And Night of disappointed me as well. But so now I look forward ahead, and I'm looking forward to American Horror Story.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've watched all of those. There have been some seasons that have been great, some that haven't been. I wasn't too crazy about the last season with the hotel.
I was nervous about how it was going to go without Jessica Lange this season, and also with the addition of Lady Gaga. But I actually thought it was pretty good.
Well, I thought it was good. I just didn't think it was great. I mean, there have been a few seasons where it was great,
and it was
okay. And I thought there was a lot of, not to sound like a prude or anything, because I'm certainly not, but with Lady Gaga on, I think there was a lot of gratuitous, like, you know, S&M scenes that was just like, okay, you know, enough with this already.
Right.
You know, and so there's a lot of mystery surrounding the new season as to what the plot is going to be, because every season changes. And so they've been putting out these fake trailers to, you know, to divert people to what the new season's about. So that I am really looking forward to. And I got it.
They haven't lost you.
They haven't lost me there. I'm losing interest, but I'm still hanging on to Blacklist. Do you ever watch Blacklist?
No, but I know what it is. That's the James Spader.
Yeah, James Spader's really good in that. He's really good in that. But I'm losing interest in that because they're starting to fade away. The one that I'm really looking forward to seeing of a new show is this Westworld. Have you seen anything with that?
No.
Yeah. There was a great movie in the 70s called Westworld with Yul Brynner. And it was about an amusement park, per se, that was inhabited by robots. And if you were rich enough, you could make your fantasy come true. They had several different lands. So you could be... And Anthony Hopkins is in this one, so this is going to be a pretty good cast. Yeah, it's called Westworld. It's going to be on in October, and the whole idea was that hey, if you want to be a cowboy, then you go to this place and there's all these robots, and you could have, you know, you can be a cowboy and you can have a gunfight and you can have a draw and everything. And if you want to go to ancient Rome and be an emperor of Rome, you could be the emperor of Rome, and there will be, you know, as much orgies and vomitariums as you want.
Who doesn't fantasize about that all day long?
But the idea was that there were these manufactured lands with robots that were like humans, and then you got to fulfill your fantasy. And then, of course, something happens with the technology, and the robots turn on the humans.
Right.
And so there's a remake of that. And Jonathan, I believe it's Jonathan Nolan who is Christopher Nolan's brother, is behind this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that one, just because of I remember, because Yul Brynner played this psychotic robot who goes nuts and, and starts killing James Brolin.
Okay, now this is.
Yeah, James.
You lost me at robots.
Yeah,
James Brolin after James Brolin.
James Brolin and Richard Benjamin were the stars.
I don't even know who that is, but I do know who James Brolin is.
You don't know who Richard Benjamin is?
No, and I know who Yul Brynner is.
Okay,
so I'm super three.
All right, I'm getting a little tired of the affair, but I'm going to stay with that.
No.
Because
see now that not only is that on my list, but that is definitely on my list. You know, the Emmys are coming up this weekend, and that's on the snub list. I can't even believe that it hasn't
been
recognized for outstanding drama series.
I mean, I am interested to see, you know, how that all plays out. I thought the last season, the season before that wasn't as good, but last season was good. They opened it up and and introduced the backstories of some other characters, and that really helped the you know, the entire thing. What are you looking forward to this this fall?
Well, I too am looking forward to American Horror Story. I think I liked Hotel a little bit more than you did, but I just think I always think that they have an amazing ensemble cast every time, even without Jessica Lange. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I also, a Ryan Murphy production, I am looking forward to Scream Queens. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I know. I've heard of that.
This is a little bit lighter than American Horror Story, but it's still dark. You know, it's a black comedy. It's very campy. I would say it's kind of Scream meets Mean Girls.
Right.
You know, so it's like Emma Roberts, Jamie Lee Curtis, Leah Michelle.
Yeah, like, yeah, season, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and this season, John Stamos is joining the cast.
Oh, my gosh. Can he get more jobs?
I love John Stamos, but I love John Stamos.
Can he get more jobs?
He should have more jobs. He should be everywhere, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, there's another show I'm looking forward to. Yeah. One more show I'm interested in taking a look at, a new one that I'm surprised. It's the show called The Good Place.
Yes, that's on my list, too. Ted Danson.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yes, yes.
Ted Danson's another guy. This guy's been on more shows in the last 3 years. He's everywhere.
But I think, you know, his kind of sitcom track record between Cheers and what was the other one? Becker,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm predicting that The Good Place is going to be a big hit. I hope it is.
Yeah.
And I hope it's as funny as the promos make it look.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see because you know, like I said, teaming him with Kristen Bell could be interesting. And there's some of the shows. I still like Modern Family. It's not the same as it was. It's been on a long time. It's lost.
They have kind of lost it. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch it sometimes on demand if when I'm bored and there's nothing else going on. Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, I'm surprised. But so that's interesting that I purposely did not want to know the shows that you were looking forward to. So it's funny that we had most of the same ones.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they...
Well, watch Westworld.
How they're actually received. So
watch Westworld.
I'll tell you what. Even though you lost me at robots, I'll give it a chance.
No, no. In fact, go on Netflix and look at... and I want you to watch the original Westworld.
Okay, now that I'm not going to do.
You have to.
I have too many other things.
No, you have to.
On Netflix.
Okay. But that's one reason why you are a member of the Pop Culture Club, because you have a good taste because you think like me.
Right.
real quick here before we have to go. So the Emmys are, well, by the time we post this on Monday, the Emmys will have happened. But I just was wondering, in terms of, we won't go through all the categories because it really doesn't make sense. The program will have been done. But just as a little form of reference, just to see how accurate you were, and I was.
Oh, boy.
What do you think is going to win best comedy, and what do you think is going to win best drama?
Okay, so, can I tell you who I want to win and then who I think will win?
Yeah, that's the way I usually like to do it anyway.
Okay, so comedy series, I really want Master of None to win. I don't know if you watched that. This is Aziz Ansari.
Oh, I've never seen that. Once again, now that's on Netflix. I don't know. I
haven't seen it.
I've heard about it. It's gotten rave reviews.
It is very, very funny, but it also has a lot of heart. So I think, to me, it deserves the Emmy. But who I think will win is probably Veep, because Veep always wins. And nobody can seem to get enough of Veep.
So, well, I'll tell you, you're exactly correct on who I think is going to win. I think Veep had a really good season. There was a new showrunner on Veep this last season, and it actually was much more. That show has always had an acid tongue, But it was, I loved it because it was more sarcastic and more dark than it ever had been, and it was funnier than ever, too. So I hadn't seen, once again, I hadn't seen that. Now, quick question, what's this other one that David Spade does? This death, sex?
I don't know.
Have you heard about this one? There's another
no.
web series with David Spade I hear everybody talking about. And then everybody's talking about...
I don't know, but I like David Spade, so I'm going to have to look
at it. And then what's this other one? Everyone's talking about the Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things. That is the big... See, this is... I'm not getting it. I don't get it. I've watched, like, the first three episodes, and I do not understand. Every time I turn around, everybody's like, you have to watch it.
I know.
People are texting me, are you watching it?
And I feel so out of the loop on this, because, A, I don't have the delivery platform.
No, you're really out of
it. And then, B, I'm not watching it, and it's just like, my God. Now, I have heard about it. And okay. I'm wondering if I would like it because it's kind of...
Let me tell you really quickly. I'll just break it down for you. So Stranger Things, I've only watched three episodes, but I would say that is kind of like, we'll say it's sort of like E.T. meets Close Encounters of the Third Kind with maybe a little bit of Lost thrown in the mix.
Yeah, see?
Now, it takes place in the 1980s. So I think there's definitely a nostalgia factor there for a lot of people. And it stars Winona Ryder.
Right.
Which we've referenced her a lot lately, so I'm starting to worry for her well-being.
But, yeah, right. Because when I talk about somebody, they usually die.
Yeah, right. But I can't get around the fact that she does star in this show.
Right.
And she is great. She's fantastic in it, which is not surprising because I do think she's a great actress. And I think it's kind of a shame that that whole shoplifting thing really derailed her career for like a number of years.
Yeah.
But it's great to see her back on. But yeah, this is kind of like, takes place in the 1980s in a small town, and the story begins with the abduction of a boy who is Winona Ryder's son, and it kind of takes off from there. But, you know, like I said, I'm finding it really hard to get into this, and with a plot that starts like that, you would think that you would be drawn in right away. But, you know, if something is not clicking with me.
I've been reading a lot how it's kind of a... It's got some influences of Stephen King and obviously Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned many Steven Spielberg movies right there with the E.T. and Close Encounters. And it's got kind of a Stand By Me feel, I've heard, as well as Goonies. And I'm wondering if that's...
And do you know what I think, actually? You should actually check it out, because one thing I have noticed is that I do think they've done a really good job of kind of capturing the 80s very authentically.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Like,
that
the fashion, the music. I mean, like, the music is great. You know, it's really beyond the kind of cliche, totally 80s stuff. You know, there's, like, a lot of Clash, Leonard Cohen, and there's a really haunting Peter Gabriel cover of David Bowie's Heroes that pretty much ended the last episode, and it's probably the reason that I'm going to watch the next one.
Oh, so very cool.
I am going to try to persevere, and I suggest that when we finally get you your smart TV and your Netflix subscription, if you get the smart TV, I'll get you the Netflix subscription for Christmas. How about that? is my pledge to you.
So, and what about best drama?
Oh, okay. Best drama. Okay, so who I want to win is The Americans.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows, period.
Yes, yeah. But I think Game of Thrones is going to win.
Yeah, I think I wasn't all that crazy about the Game of Thrones season this year, but I guess a lot of people just acted like this was the greatest season on earth, maybe with the whole Jon Snow resurrection and all that. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you know about that?
No, because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
But I am aware of the Jon Snow phenomenon. I mean, I do get what
I think you're right in that. I think Game of Thrones will win. Downton Abbey, this is the last season. There might be some, you know.
Maybe, but I think Downton Abbey kind of jumped the shark.
Yeah,
like,
a long time.
So.
But I'm just wondering if there's some sentimentality there. The Americans is the best unwatched show on television.
Hands down.
Homeland had a good season. I wasn't that crazy about the last several episodes of House of Cards this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not with you on Homeland. I think Homeland has also kind of jumped the shark. And Claire Danes is just getting kind of old in the role. It's just like enough. It's too much of the same thing. But I'm totally with you on The Americans. And I have to say, it's really nice to see that show actually being recognized by the Emmys, because I think this is the first year that they really have been in any significant way. So,
Yeah, the only thing I would say is my dark horse, the one that I'm really keeping my fingers crossed because I really do believe it was the show that I was most interested in. It had the most chance to fail, and it's proving to not only be as good as the show it spun off from, but even a little better, and that's Better Call Saul.
I love Better Call Saul.
Yeah, that I think
what got me watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that show is so much more than a spinoff of Breaking Bad. Bob Odenkirk is great. The whole show is written well. They're bringing some aspects of Breaking Bad in. It's just that, to me, that was the show that I felt I couldn't miss every week that I looked forward to. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that one. It's probably a long shot because everybody loves Game of Thrones. But that one really I felt was really a good show. Well, Emily Arminetti, I have had a ball here talking television with you, and not surprised. You certainly have your own opinions, and you certainly have all your Rococos and your Netflixes and your Amazon. So you're clearly tuned in. And but we had a great time. Thanks so much for sharing, and we'll see how you did on your picks.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. That's Emily Arminetti here on another episode of the Pop Culture Club. And that, once again, ends us here on episode 18 of another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you had a good time. I had a great time today. Hope you did too. Please listen often, share with your friends, do whatever it is. Go on my landing page, WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.